Turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. I have thoroughly enjoyed myself. Thank you for your hospitality, your generosity. This is the first time I've really got to stay with Gabe and Hannah and get to know them, and what a pleasure that's been this week. The Lord's given you a pastor, and He's given you a pastor's wife. And this is the first time I've got to spend any time with Larry, and I enjoyed it. Probably have to have therapy, but... Especially after that man that didn't have a leg to stand on yesterday. No, you can wink at her. That's all. After 41 years, you can wink at her. All right. All right. Let me get myself together. Yesterday, we looked at a throne, a book, and a lamb. And this morning, I want us to look at the preacher, the people, and the message. If God's got a people somewhere, He's got a preacher for them. And He's going to send them a preacher of the gospel, and He's going to preach. And God's going to save His people through the preaching of the gospel, what the world calls foolishness. They call what we are doing here this morning foolishness. But it's pleased God through the foolishness of preaching, not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So first we start with the preacher. He says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. That's a powerful statement, especially when you're standing here. That's all I want right now. I want the hand of the Lord to be upon me. Paul said, who is sufficient for these things? Who is sufficient to handle the glory of God? Who's sufficient to handle life and eternity and judgment? Who's sufficient to handle these things? But Paul goes on to say, but our God is our sufficiency. I totally depend on Him this morning for the ability to preach the gospel, not my notes. Barner said, I have my notes. I hope I don't have to use them. I know what he means. No amount of formal education can make us sufficient preachers. It can't do it. The ability to rightly divide the word of truth and to preach it in power is of God. Repeating the truth is not the same as preaching the truth. And God has to enable us to preach the gospel in the power of His Spirit. It's of God. The power is of God and not of us. And He said that He carried me away. Christ is our strength. In this hour of preaching, Christ is my strength. He's our strength in His service. He must strengthen us and direct us where to preach the gospel. It's not up to me to just pick a place. We pray for God's leadership. We look for His leadership, and we depend on Him to guide us to the place to preach, to the people to preach to. He appoints the place, He appoints the time, and He appoints the service. He said, He sat me down. That's what He did with you here. He sat me down in Spring Lake. I'd have never thought of that. I'd have never thought of that at all. And I'm sure you'd have never thought of this place. But Ezekiel says, He carried me and He sat me down And the place he set me down is sure not the place I would have picked. I wouldn't pick a graveyard. He set me down in a valley of dry, dead bones. You know, one thing about preaching, as you learn and you grow, you realize that you are preaching to a lot of dead people. Now, I'm preaching to some people here who believe the gospel. I'm also preaching to some that are dead. I have no doubt about that. No doubt. And I pray it would please God to give life. To give life. Our natural tendency is to look at the well-watered plains of Jordan. Why preach here when in New York there's 8 million people? That looks like a better place to preach. But that's not where God would have me. The best place for me to preach is where God put me. He took Philip from Samaria, which had a great service going on. It was a real good service going on. People were being saved, and he called him and sent him to a desert place. Why go to a desert place? Because there's one sheep there. It wasn't a group of people. There's one. It was a eunuch in a chariot reading the word of God. God preparing that eunuch, and God prepared his preacher and brought him, made her path cross. And God's amazing. Isn't it amazing? The reason the Lord sends his preacher where he sends them is because that's where his sheep are. He sends his preachers where his sheep are. This valley of bones is my people. This valley of dry, very dry, been there a long time. I started to say very dead, but there's really no degrees of dead, is there? I mean, nobody's just barely dead. Have you ever heard that? Well, he's barely dead. Now, I've heard of barely alive, but I've never heard of barely dead. I mean, dead's dead. You know, somebody called you this morning and said, John Chapman died. Would you get it? Do you know what they said, what they meant? But when we say they're dead in trespasses and sins, they don't get it. That means dead, spiritually dead. We don't have the life of God in us any way, shape, or form. That's dead. We are dead to God. We're not dead to one another. I reckon because we think we can talk to each other, we can just talk to God. Not without Christ, you can't. A dead person can't talk to life, the one who's life. Life has to give life for there to be any communication. There has to be. And he says here, he calls me to pass by them round about. As Moses took that serpent and walked around the camp. He walked around, he passed by, and he said, look and live. Look and live. And he said here that God caused him to pass by them. Why is that? Because they're dead. They can't pass by him. They can't pass by him. They're dead. That's exactly why. Isn't it amazing that God sends his preacher among us? I know this. At one time, every last person in this room was dead. Dead. And God sent a preacher to pass by you and preach the gospel. How marvelous. How marvelous the grace of God. That he would come into our midst, that God Almighty would come into this world, assume our flesh, become man, die for us, be buried, rise again, and then call preachers and send them to a bunch of dead, God-hating rebels. Isn't that marvelous? That's marvelous grace. Henry said one time, when grace ceases to be marvelous, to be amazing, when grace ceases to be amazing, it ceases to be grace. When it's not amazing no more to you. That God would look upon a dead, depraved people like us and send his preacher. Oh my, what a blessing. There's nothing in this scene attractive about God's elect. There's nothing about us that's attractive. I know we get in the mirror. We comb and primp and we look, you know, mirror, mirror on the wall. We think that's us. But God sees nothing attractive about us at all. He sees the attractiveness in Christ. And he sees us in Christ. And that's where our beauty is. Our beauty, our worth is in Christ. He's my worth. I'm worthless apart from him. I am. But this, he says here, behold, they were very many in the open valley, and they were very dry. You know, I don't know what happened here, but I know who lost. They did. Laying there dead. If we will give a serious look at human nature and human history, it will become evident we lost. We lost. When Adam met Satan in the garden, he lost. And when that happened, we lost. We lost the way to God. We lost the truth of God. We lost the life of God. What is it that Christ says that he is to us? The way, the truth, and the life. Everything I lost in Adam, I have in Christ. Everything. All was lost. Nothing left. You know this earth is one big graveyard. I assure you, there's not one inch, there's not one square inch of this earth that something hasn't died on it. It might just be a fishworm, but something has died on it. This earth, this whole world is a graveyard. It is. It's just a graveyard. It says here they were very dry. Been there a long time. Been there a long time. We've been dead a long time. 6,000 years, roughly. Dead a long time. No sign of spiritual life at all. No spiritual intelligence. And listen, that's the only intelligence that really matters. When life is over, the only thing that really, really matters is my union to Christ. It's my connection to him. Paul said he counted everything lost for the excellency of what? The knowledge of Christ Jesus. Knowing him. Oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrected life, that I might know him now. That's the only intelligence that's worth having. Dead, he said. Dead. The image of God marred. You could write Ichabod over this valley. And you could write Ichabod over us. The glory's departed unless God does something. Unless God does something for me and in me. You could write Ichabod. The glory's departed. The glory of this people was the image of God. The likeness to their creator. But sin has taken that away. Sin has marred us. It's marred our bodies. It's marred our minds. You ever think about the human mind? I mean, the mind, to me, there's nothing more intriguing, nothing more interesting to me, as far as people go, is the mind. The mind is just unbelievable. Even with sin, look what we can still do. Even marred with sin. But it's marred our emotions. It's marred our desires. It's marred everything. It's messed up everything, absolutely everything. And it says very dry, which means no moisture, no marrow in the bone. Left, it's all gone. It's all gone. All life, all spiritual life and strength is gone. Gone. And he said to me, God must speak to the preacher first. If God doesn't speak to me first, I don't need to be speaking to you. He speaks to the preacher first. Our warrant for preaching is, thus saith the Lord. That's what it is, and nothing else. He gives us our message and the people to preach it to. And God asks a question. Son of man, can these bones live? Can they live again? They're very dry, been there a long time, sun bleached. The crows have picked off all the flesh. They're very, very dry. Son of man, can these bones live? See, God starts with his preacher first. And he says here, and I answered, Lord God, thou knowest. That's a good answer. That's a good answer. God, only you know. Only you know that a dead, depraved sinner here this morning, only you know whether or not he can live again. Or she. He or she. You know. I don't know. All I can do is stand here and preach. That's all I am supposed to do. Only God can give the correct answer to this question. Only God can give life. And if he's pleased to do so, I promise you, you'll live. If he commands life, you'll live. If he says live, you'll live. I need him to speak this morning. You need him to speak this morning. Again, he said to me, prophesy, that is preach. That's just what I'm doing. Preach upon these bones and say to them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. The first command he gives is to preach to them. Don't entertain them. I'm not here to entertain anybody. You're not here, Larry. Gabe, you're not here to entertain anybody. We're here to preach, thus saith the Lord. He commands Ezekiel to preach to them and tell them, hear the word of the Lord. Hear what God says. Listen to what God says. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The first thing God commands is for his word to be preached and for his word to be heard. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, if he commands you to hear, you'll hear. You will hear. It is God who commands the hearing ear and the seeing eye. It's God who gives that. And by faith, we hear not only the written word preached, but the living word. We hear Christ speak. We hear Christ speak. The Lord speaks. And when we hear the word of the Lord, we hear him. We hear him who is life. We hear him who is life eternal. Look over in 1 John. I started to quote this, but I want to read it. Over in 1 John, first chapter. He says, that which was from the beginning, 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. We have seen life. We have touched life. We have heard life. We've handled life. Now listen. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested unto us. Eternal life is a person. It's not how long you're going to live. You're going to live forever, even if you wind up in hell. But now eternal life is a person. And John says, eternal life was given a body. We touched it. We heard life speak. Eternal life, you know, eternal life was given a name. Jesus Christ. Now, if you hear him, if that life commands you to live and to hear, you're going to live. You're going to believe the gospel. You're going to believe the gospel. And he says there in verse 5, 6, thus saith the Lord God unto the bones. Now he's speaking to the bones. See, he spoke to the preacher and he told the preacher to preach. And now he's speaking to the bones. Those dead, dry bones. You know what's amazing? I sang this last night. You ever look at a skeleton? and think, that used to be a person. I looked at a skeleton once, and it just would not leave my mind. That used to be a person. That person used to walk and talk and think and have a family, and now it's laying there dead. It's just bones now. Just bones. And he said, the Lord said unto these bones, behold, I'll cause breath to enter into you and you'll live. I love this because God's saying, this is what I'm going to do. It's not what you're going to do. No, you already done what you're going to do. And I'll lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know when this happens that I'm the Lord. That I'm the Lord. God tells us in his word what he has done for us in Christ. You read that in Ephesians. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places before the world began. He tells us what he's done for us in Christ. He's given us all heavenly blessings in Christ. He has justified us in him, clear of all charges. None of them stick. The accuser of the brethren, he can say, well, let me tell you what he did. It ain't going to stick. It's not going to stick. Forgiven? That's priceless. If you know what sin is and guilt is, boy, you know forgiveness. Forgiveness is priceless. He's made us new creatures in him. Salvation's of the Lord, isn't it? It's of the Lord. God purposed to save these bones. Save this valley of dead. That used to be an army there. A living, thriving army. Now they're dead. But he says, you're going to live again. You're going to live again. He purposed to save them. And he tells them that he's going to give them life and everything they need for life. Not a toe will be missing. Not a finger, not a hair. You know the scripture says that not a hair of your head will perish. I expect every bit of that back. I do. I honestly do. I expect every hair that's fallen from my head to be restored. That's how thorough I believe salvation is. That's how thorough it is. Nothing be lost. Nothing. God has given us in Christ life from the dead and all that we need to stand in his presence complete. I have it all. You know, only an idiot would try to add to something that's complete. In him, you are complete. Nothing, that means nothing lacking. He's our wisdom. Christ is made unto us. This is not just what he gives me. This is what he is to me. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And he said, because I live, you shall live also. So I preached. I preached as I was commanded. He didn't question the wisdom of God standing there looking at those bones in that valley. He just said, okay. He stood up and he stood and preached. He didn't question the power of God. God's preacher preached. You'll notice that's all he did. That's all he did. He didn't try to get those bones to do something. That would have looked like the dumbest thing in the world, wouldn't it? Stupid. Thomas, so you can't fix stupid. He preached. God will bless his word and nothing else. And the sooner we learn that as preachers, boy, the sooner we learn that, the better. The better. Ezekiel didn't try to put the bones together. That would have looked like a mess. He would have put the wrong bone with the wrong body, guarantee you. Guarantee you. And it would have been a messed up body. When I was a young boy, my dad never bought us a bicycle, so we took different bicycle parts. I mean, it looked like a freak show when we got done with it. But we put a bicycle together, and it had parts from here and parts from there, big wheel, little wheel. You know. But at the end of it, it was a bicycle. But I tell you what, you couldn't call it a good bicycle. it looked like one, but it was a mess. It was a mess. And if Ezekiel had tried to put these bones together, and you know, God didn't tell him to do that. God did not tell him to go over there and start matching those bones up. He would have made it. It would have made a mess. This is the job for the great physician. This is his job. This is his responsibility. This is his work. This is God's work. Salvation is God's work. So I preached as I was commanded, and there was a noise. A voice is what that is. There was a voice. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone, and the skin covered them about, but there was no breath in them. Just a body. But life hadn't entered into him yet. When I did, though, he says here, when I did as I was commanded, things began to happen. God began to save. He began to do what he said he would do. There was a voice, God speaking, God commanding life, God commanding bone to come to its right, proper body. God's commanding this. A new creation is happening. That's what's happening. A new creation is happening. A new man being made. A new man. Not a renovation. A new man. And a shaking. Someone says it's a shaking of all false hopes. Being shaken off, the dust of death shaken off, ignorance being shaken off, but there was a shaking like that jailer. You know, God might shake your world, but then it might be like Lydia. He speaks, and God just opens her heart. It may be that way. You know, it may take a shaking for someone like that jailer, and it may just take God quietly speaking to your heart and opening your heart. But I tell you this, not until God does a work of grace in you by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit will you live. You'll get religious. I guarantee you, before you die, you'll probably get religious. Most people do. Then he said to me, prophesy or preach unto the wind. You see, the Holy Spirit has his work in this. He has his work in salvation. Preach, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon thee slain. Sin has slain us, that they may live. If you'll notice here, the whole work is of God. Not at any point did they or the preacher contribute anything to their salvation. He just preached and God commanded life. The preacher is told to call upon the Spirit of God. And that's what I do now. I do. I pray, Holy Spirit, take the Word of God and apply it to us dead center here. Make them live. Make them live. The preacher is told to call upon the Spirit of God to come and give life to those dead bones, that dead body. The new birth is a work of the Holy Spirit. The Father chose us, the Son redeemed us, and the Holy Spirit regenerates us. You take any one of them out, you don't have salvation. It ain't going to happen. Ezekiel did not tell those bones to do something for God, but for God to do something for them. Come and breathe on. Oh, if we'd learn, we who preach, if we could just learn to preach and then pray. Preach and pray that God bless his word. God apply the word. God give life like you did to me. Give life to them. I would to God that he would give life to every person in this room. I do. My pastor said one time, he said, God will save all he can wisely save. And he will. But brethren, we need God to do something for us. We need God to do something for us. And he says in verse 10, "So I preached as he commanded me. Obedience is priceless. And the breath came into them, and they lived just as he said they would. Nothing's impossible with God. Life is his to give if he will. He quickens, the scripture says, whom he will." I want you to get this. The saving of a sinner is not a challenge to God's power. It's just a matter of God's will. It's never a challenge to his power. It's a matter of his will. "And they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army." They did as they were commanded. He said, "Stand up." Christ said to that man was crippled, "Take up your bed and walk." And what did he do? He took up his bed and walked. He says, "These bones are the whole house of Israel. These bones are my elect." My elect. "And they say," and they didn't say this before, but now they say, "We are sinful." You'll never, ever admit to your guilt and your sinfulness until God gives you life. Dead people don't repent. It's the living. When God commands life, that's when you see how sinful you are. When God commands life, that's when you see you were dead. But not till then. "And they say we are sinful and there's no hope for us." Well, that's the one time there's hope now. When you think there's no hope, that's the only time there is hope. When you become hopeless and everything you ever hoped in is gone, it's been shaken away, it's shattered. Now there's hope for you. Now there's hope. Not until we have life do we have repentance. Not until we have life do we know how sinful we are. "Woe is me," cried Isaiah. "O wretched man that I am," cried Paul. And Paul would have choked and went to hell before he'd have said that until God saved him. And when God saved him, he said, "I am a wretch." What do you know? I am a wretch. And I'm going to wind this up. Here comes the good news. "Tell them, instruct them, behold, O my people, I'm going to open your graves. I'm going to bring you out into the land of Israel, the land that I promised to your fathers. I'm going to take you to glory." We saw a little bit of that yesterday. We got a little glimpse into heaven yesterday. We have a large family, don't we? You realize how large your... People always ask me, "How many brothers and sisters do you have?" Well, in the flesh, I got 4 sisters and 2 brothers. But in the spirit, it's innumerable. It's innumerable. "Death has no more dominion over you, for sin has no more dominion over you." You're not under the law now. You're under God's grace. God's going to bring the Israel of God. And I'm looking at some of the Israel of God right here. I'm looking at it. I'm looking at the true Jews. He's going to bring them to the promised land. And when he does this, you're going to know that I'm the Lord. Isn't that something? God shall save us in such a way that when he has saved us, we will know that the Lord saved us. It wasn't a cooperation. I didn't cooperate with him. It's not a salvation, not a cooperation of me and the Lord doing this together. No, it's the Lord doing the saving. It's the Lord doing the saving. And you're going to know I'm the Lord. And beside me, you're going to know this. And beside me, there is no else. There is none else. There is no other Savior. There's none. I'm going to put my spirit in you, and you're going to live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. Oh, when God puts his Holy Spirit in you, you'll live and you'll know that God is faithful to his word. God is faithful to his word. He'll perform that which he has spoken. That gives me great comfort. God's never broken a promise. Never will. He would have to cease to be God than to break a promise. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's a promise. That's a promise. And I had written at the bottom of this, not until then shall we know how much we owe.